One Virgin Too Many, Falco, Book 11, written by Lindsay Davis and read by Gordon Griffin.
Rome, the 27th of May to the 7th of June, A.D. 74. Chapter 1. I had just come home after telling my favourite sister that her husband had been eaten by a lion. I was in no mood for greeting a new client. Some informers might welcome any chance to flourish their schedule of charges. I wanted silence, darkness, oblivion. Not much hope, since we were on the Aventine Hill in the noisiest hour of a warm May evening, with all Rome opening up for commerce and connivance. Well, if I couldn't expect peace, at least I deserved a drink. But the child was waiting for me outside my apartment, halfway down Fountain Court, and as soon as I spotted her on the balcony, I guessed that refreshments would have to wait. My girlfriend Helena was always suspicious of anything too pretty that arrived in a very short tunic. Had she made the would-be customer wait outside? Or had the smart little girl taken one look at our apartment and refused to venture indoors? She was probably linked to the luxurious carrying chair with the Medusa boss on the smoothly painted half-door that was parked below the balcony. Our meagre home might strike her as highly undesirable. I hated it myself. On what passed for a portico, she had found herself the stool that I used for watching the world go by. As I came up the worn steps from the alley, my first acquaintance was with a pair of petite, well-manicured white feet and gold-strapped sandals, kicking disconsolately against the balcony rail. With the thought of Maya's four children, frightened and tearful, still burning my memory, that was all the acquaintance I wanted. I had too many problems of my own. Even so, I noticed that the little person on my stool had qualities I would once have welcomed in a client. She was female. She looked attractive, confident, clean, and well-dressed. She appeared to be good for a fat fee, too. A profusion of bangles was clamped on her plump arms. Green glass beads with glinting spacers dangled in the four-colour braid on the neck of her finely woven tunic. Adept boudoir maids must have helped to arrange the circle of dark curls around her face and to position the gold net that pegged them in place. If she was showing a lot of leg below the tunic, that was because it was such a short tunic. She handled her smooth emerald stole with unflustered ease when it slid off her shoulders. She looked as if she assumed she could handle me as easily. There was one problem. My ideal client, assuming Helena Justina permitted me to assist such a person nowadays, would be a pert widow, aged somewhere between 17 and 20. I placed this little gem in a far less dangerous bracket. She was only 5 or 6. I leaned on the balcony newel post, a rotting timber the landlord should have replaced years ago. When I spoke, my voice sounded weary even to me. "Hello, Princess. Can't you find the door porter to let you in?" She stared at me scornfully, aware that grimy plebeian apartments did not possess slaves to welcome visitors. "When your family tutor starts to teach you about rhetoric, you will discover that that was a feeble attempt at irony. Can I help you?"
"I was told an informer lives here."
Her accent said she was upper class. I had worked that out. I tried not to let it prejudice me. Well, not too much.
"If you are Falco, I want to consult you."
It came out clear and surprisingly assured. Chin up and self-confident, the prospective client had the brighter dress of a star trapeze artiste. She knew what she wanted and expected to be listened to. "Sorry, I am not available for hire." Still upset by my visit to Maya, I took a sterner line than I should have done.